Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Ellen Barnett.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
It wasn't the best thing for revenue and tax reform, but it could have been worse.
Rowan County teacher rallied with thousands of educators in Frankfort today.
The State House has passed an override of the vetoed tax revenue bill.
Two Estill County men are behind bars for allegedly exploiting children.
Officials in Moorhead are already planning phase two of the city's new splash pad.
Boyd County needs to replace the roof on the county's detention center.
In sports, we'll have the score from MSU baseball on the road today, facing SIU Edwardsville.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low of 61. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Kentucky legislature has voted to override Governor Matt Bevin's veto of a tax bill that would introduce a flat income tax and raise taxes on goods and services. According to WKYT, the House voted 57-40, now sending the bill to the Senate. The Senate passed the override just moments ago with a 20-18 vote. This comes after Bevin vetoed the bill earlier this week, calling it sloppy and non-transparent. The bill in question includes a 50-cent cigarette tax, as well as a tax on various goods and services, such as pet grooming and landscaping. Both the House and Senate are now considering the budget, which has also been vetoed by the governor.
Around 50 educators from Rowan County have joined thousands more on the Capitol steps in Frankfort today. The group has gathered to support education after the governor vetoed the budget and tax reform bills passed by the legislature. Several area schools decided to shut their doors today to allow the trip, but Rowan stayed open. The administration did encourage teachers from each school to attend the rally and even provided transportation for the group. Allison Sloan teaches at Rowan County Middle School. She says lawmakers can decide to override the governor's vetoes, signing the bills into law, or they can start over.
Special session would be called, and both political parties would go back to work to create a new budget, hopefully better than that one. Things can get worse. Things can be put in that weren't in there before. Things can be taken out that weren't there before. So that's what scares people. Some are fine with the way it is just because it could get worse. Our hope that in the end, no matter what, that what comes out right for students is what is happening.
Sloan says she can't speculate about what will happen with the bills, but feels it is important for the educators to be present and vocal about their wishes.
The superintendent of the Rowan County School System hopes members of the Kentucky House and Senate will band together this weekend to override Governor Bevin's veto of their two-state budget. Marvin Moore isn't necessarily a big fan of the spending plan put forth by lawmakers, but says it's much better than Bevin's budget proposal, which would make severe cuts to the state's K-12 schools.
It's just like which one is the worst of all evils, and what the House bill 200 and the Senate bill 366, what they put out there, it's not the best for public education, but it's much better than what the governor's laid out for us to work with for the next 2 years. I just don't think we want to experience that.
While Bevin's budget plan would cut state appropriations to Rowan County schools by $1.6 million, the plan put forth by lawmakers restores many of the governor's proposed funding reductions.
Dozens of Kentucky school districts are closed today as educators head to Frankfort to protest budget and tax bills that were vetoed earlier this week. The budget bill increased per-student spending and tax increases in the revenue bill and held off nearly $490 million in cuts to public education. Andrew Bailey with the Jefferson County Education Association says teachers are also worried by a quickly passed pension reform law.
I think a lot of teachers are just shaking their heads and they don't know what's next for the kids in their classroom and what's next for themselves, too. They got into this to change the world and do good for society, and in exchange for taking less pay than what they're worth.
The pension bill moves new hires into a hybrid pension that requires member contributions. Bevin says it will prevent the ailing pension system from getting any worse.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin has asked President Donald Trump to issue a disaster declaration for 35 counties affected by flooding. The Daily Independent cites a Wednesday release from Bevin's office that says the late February flooding caused an estimated $24.7 million in damages statewide, with 75% of that damage inflicted on highways, bridges, and local infrastructure. Four Kentucky residents died. The release says the requested presidential disaster declaration will provide more than one quarter of Kentucky counties with federal assistance to recover from the widespread storms. Bevin's office said Thursday that President Donald Trump hath authorized assistance for 22 counties damaged in severe flooding in mid-February from a previous disaster declaration request.
Two Estill County men are behind bars facing child sex crimes as a result of two separate investigations. Kentucky State Police say they discovered an Irvine man uploading child pornography online and obtained a search warrant, which was executed Thursday. 40-year-old Joseph Ledford was arrested and faces one count of distribution of matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor and 20 counts of possessing matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. The state's electronic crime branch also arrested 42-year-old Andy Estes and charged him with prohibited use of electronic communications, to procure a minor for sex offenses. Investigators say he was using social media to engage in sexual conduct with minors, and they obtained a search warrant to seize electronic devices. According to WKYT, the devices are currently in a crime lab for examinations. Both suspects are being held in the Three Forks Regional Jail.
Police in Laurel County have issued a golden alert for a missing woman. According to WYMT, 25-year-old Gara Harp was last seen Wednesday evening around 9 off American Greeting Card Road. Harp is 5 foot 6 inches tall and weighs 184 pounds. She has green eyes and brown shoulder-length hair. Anyone with information is asked to call 606-787-7000.
The statue of a Confederate soldier in a major Kentucky city has been vandalized for the third time in less than a year. The Courier-Journal reports that the words racist and traitor were emblazoned on the base of Louisville's John B. Castleman statue. Crews have placed signs informing residents of the previous vandalism. The statue was first vandalized with orange paint in the wake of August's deadly white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. It was cleaned for $8,200. Another can of orange paint was thrown at it in February. City workers are testing methods to remove the writing, but will not remove the paint from February.
The Kinder Morgan, Tennessee pipeline conversion project is receiving backlash from students across the state. The Kentucky Student Environmental Coalition is organizing teach-in events to educate peers on the dangers of repurposing the pipeline instead of retiring it. Kara Cooper with KSEC says events will focus on the group's cause and the pipeline.
If people want to learn more about the Kinder Morgan Tennessee Gas Pipeline, you can find information on our website, which is www.kystudentenvironmentalcoalition.org. We've got a pipeline's information page. Folks can also follow us on social media to stay up to date about the different things that we're working on.
Cooper says the pipeline is 75 years old and has over 250 quote, significant failures already. The teach-in events include a presentation on the impacts and unique dangers of this particular project, such as hydraulic fracturing and pipeline development.
Officials are already planning to add another piece to the new $600,000 splash pad complex that Moorhead and Round County will be constructing late this summer. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the city has told the project's architect, CMW of Lexington, to include a lazy river in its blueprint for it.
And they're designing it as if we're going to put it in later, which would encircle the whole splash pad. So we're figuring that somewhere in the neighborhood of what we're paying for the splash pad, upwards of $1 million. And again, that could always change. And that's something that as we get closer to the splash pad being finished, and once we get it under our belt and have a successful first, albeit shortened season, then we can start looking at how well it's gone and start maybe planning for that and have those numbers more narrowed down.
Trent notes the $1 million needed for the Lazy River would only be half the cost of building a new public pool, which would also be more expensive from a maintenance and operational standpoint. Right now, there is no timeline for the construction of the Lazy River addition to the splash pad complex.
It will likely be expensive for the Boyd County Fiscal Court to replace a large section of the roof at its detention center. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
The long-discussed project could cost more than $500,000. According to the Daily Independent, Commissioner Carl Tolliver called on the Fiscal Court Tuesday to pull money from the county's emergency fund for the project. Tolliver said Boyd Treasurer Patricia Ball is okay with tapping into that account to fix the jail's roof. Judge Executive Steve Toler, though, expressed concern about that idea. Toler said the county might need its emergency money to fix more road slips between now and the end of the fiscal year. However, the longer a decision about the jail roofing project is delayed, the higher the price will go. Toler and other city officials note there are currently two companies in the tri-state area that could handle the project. For WMKY, I'm Kyle Blinkenbuehler.
After being shut down on Wednesday for culvert repairs, a section of Kentucky 207 in Greenup County is open again. State Transportation Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says the highway was closed about 1 mile south of Kentucky 503 near Flatwoods. Blair says crews had an easy time with the project.
These are jobs we can do in a day, just to dig through the road, remove the old pipe and put in a new one and cover it back up. What takes a little bit longer, of course, is get it patched with blacktop. So the road can be a little rough until that's done, but as far as temporary closures, we kind of limit those to just during daytime hours.
Blair says the road is rough in spots, but is completely safe for motorists.
And we'll take a look at your region's weather and have our feature story right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for this weekend into next week. Tonight, you can expect mostly clear skies with a low around 60. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 4 p.m. turning into steady rain. Increasing clouds with a high near 67. Chance of precipitation is 60%. Tomorrow night, showers likely before 7 p.m. with a chance of thunderstorms later that night. Cloudy with a low around 58. Chance of precipitation is 60%. Sunday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm, high near 65 with a chance of precipitation at 90%. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 85 degrees in Ashland, 84 degrees here in Morehead and in Inez, 80 degrees in Flemingsburg, Lexington, and Winchester.
And it is 4:43. You are listening to Mountain Edition here on WMKY. I'm Ellen Barnett here with Logan Pemberton. Thank you for joining us. In honor of our spring fun drive, commentator John Modaff explores the background of some famous people and how they all got their start.
What do Talat Hussein, Howard Stern, Wendy Williams, Dick Clark, and Oprah Winfrey have in common? Is it their love of daytime television? No. Is it their excellent advice on picking dinnerware? No. Is it that everyone wishes they would all run for president? Certainly not. The one thing these five giants in culture and entertainment have in common is that each one of them worked in college radio when they were young. That's right, college radio. Even Oprah. Now, you might not think here at the end of a rigorous week of fundraising of WMKY as a college radio station. In many ways, it is not just about college. WMKY is part of the National Public Radio Network that commands huge audiences and considerable respect. WMKY is affiliated with numerous media organizations with proud pedigrees that go back to the birth of mass media, such as the AP. And WMKY is home to some of the most ancient creatures known to have emerged into the media landscape, including Chuck Mraz and Paul Hitchcock, each nearly 200 years old, but now looking a day over 69 or 70. Now, what does any of this have to do with you, dear listener? You've got a rare opportunity here in the waning minutes of fundraising week at WMKY. You've got a chance to give a shot of adrenaline to one of the most important, successful enterprises in higher education, providing irreplaceable, real-world media experience for generation after generation of prospective professionals. Students work at WMKY, and that work helps you, helps them, and helps our community. When students finish here, they head out into the world more ready to work, to share information, to entertain, and to be self-sufficient. You can help to make this happen. And you can feel great about knowing that the next Talat, Howard, Wendy, Dick, or Oprah got their start because you made a pledge. The hosts will let you know how. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University and a member of the WMKY family. To support us in our spring fund drive, give us a call at 783-2001 or make a pledge on our secure website online at WMKY.org. This fund drive is a chance to be a part of our public radio station. Your gift of $25 or more goes directly to supporting our local news, music, and student work studies. That number again is 783-2001 and online at WMKY.org. Tilden Johnson has been keeping an eye on the sports. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for Morehead State Public Radio comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you that April is Distracted Drivers Awareness Month. Research by Car and Driver magazine shows that a texting driver is as dangerous as a drunk driver. The Kentucky Office of Highway Safety encourages drivers to keep their eyes on the road and hands on the wheel. Work can wait.
The Eagles are away. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Morehead State baseball team is on the road for a three-game OVC set. The 20-14 Eagles started the series with SIU Edwardsville with a game at 4 o'clock. They are currently up 6-0 in the bottom of the third. Coach Mike McGuire says the Cougars remind him a lot of Butler, which beat MSU 4-2 Wednesday night.
I think they're similar to this club in the sense that they pitch it pretty well. They've not been a strong club offensively. They play pretty good defense.
While Morehead is 8-4 in OVC action, Edwardsville has just 3 wins in 15 conference games. The Cougars have had trouble generally on offense. Their team batting average is only .240. The 19-11 Morehead softball Eagles are currently continuing conference play as they visit Belmont for a doubleheader in Nashville. The Eagles got the first game started at 3, and they are currently tied 2-2 in the top of the sixth. The Eagles' second game of the day is slated to start at 5. The Cincinnati Reds will give it another try against St. Louis tonight at 6:40 at the Great American Ballpark. The Cardinals rocked the Reds 13-4 last night behind Carlos Martinez, who drove in 6 runs. The game was notable because Joey Votto was not in the lineup for Cincinnati for the first time since September 2, 2016. The 35-year-old Votto says the decision to end his streak of 202 consecutive games played came after a conversation with manager Brian Price.
It made sense to take today off, so we agreed mutually, but I don't ever want to come across as nothing's mutual. I mean, ultimately, he does make the final decision. So as mutual as it can be, and he's very generous in that regard.
Votto and Price talked in spring training about the 35-year-old first baseman taking a day off now and then this season. Meanwhile, at 2-10, the Reds are off to their worst start since 1955. New York Mets catcher Kevin Plawecki has broken a left hand and is following Travis d'Arnaud to the disabled list. Plawecki was hit by a pitch from the Marlins' Teron Guerrero at Miami in the 8th inning Wednesday night. While a post-game x-ray was negative, an MRI in New York yesterday showed a hairline fracture. Cubs manager Joe Maddon fired back at Pittsburgh Pirates skipper Clint Hurdle for criticizing Chicago star Javier Baez's bat flip on a pop-up. Maddon was surprised and didn't really understand why Hurdle criticized Baez. Morehead State football coach Rob Tinyer has liked the work of his defensive backs during spring drills, led by veterans Brandon Duncan, Chauncey Johns, Kellen Carson, and Star Hutcherson. Tinyer says they've been able to accomplish several key things over the past few weeks.
I'm really pleased with what we've done up to this point. We're playing a mix of some zone and some man coverages, and I think the guys are doing a really nice job. They're competing really hard, trying to create turnovers really competing really at a high level right now.
The MSU football team is closing out week 3 of spring practices. They'll wrap things up a week from tomorrow at Jane Stadium with a full-scale inter-squad scrimmage. The Kentucky football team closes the books on its spring practices with its annual blue-white scrimmage tonight. Dean Hood is the Wildcats special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach. Hood says he prefers spring games that use an offensive versus defensive format.
When you don't split the teams and just play offense and defense, you get to rotate your guys like you would in a normal game, and so does the offense. And so it really allows almost like an extra practice because the offense is getting their rotations, doing exactly how they would if they were going to go from 11 personnel to 12. They don't have to put maybe a third team tight end or hadn't been doing that, you know, skill set. So it really gives you an extra practice.
Tonight's game at Kroger Field in Lexington begins at 6:30. Over 31,000 fans are expected to view the contest. A former All-American offensive tackle is hoping to get the NCAA to pay for injuries that past players have sustained while playing under the association. According to WKYT Lexington, Mike Pfeiffer played on the offensive line for the Kentucky Wildcats starting in 85 until 89. In 1988, while playing against Alabama, Pfeiffer suffered a career-ending injury.
Right before half, I blow my knee out. Number 86, he dove across it. And he literally, it drove my calf muscle into the turf. I had we wore knee braces in those days, but I had the back of my calf had a grass stain on it from where it was just driven in, and that blew the PCL ligament.
Pfeiffer has paid upwards of $100,000 in medical bills. He wants the NCAA to enact an insurance policy to help future football players from going through the same financial hardships he has. Pfeiffer admits there is currently a catastrophic policy from the NCAA, but he adds the deductible is $90,000. The Dallas Cowboys have released Dez Bryant today, deciding salary cap relief and the star receiver's declining production outweigh the risk of him returning to all-pro form with another team. Bryant had a $70 million five-year contract with the Cowboys after leading the NFL with 16 touchdowns receiving in 2014. He still had 2 years left on that deal with a base salary of $12.5 million per season. Morehead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin and his assistants remain on the hunt for some spring signees. Spradlin continues to say the Eagles need to add a couple of frontline players to their 2018-19 roster.
You know, trying to get a little bit more length inside and try to get some kids that have some legitimate size. But, of course, they need to be able to play as well. We would like for them to be able to come in and play right away. So that's kind of where our focus is for those types of positions.
The Eagles are slated to return all 12 of their players from last season. 10 of them were either freshmen or sophomores. And lastly in sports, the Hornets have fired coach Steve Clifford after the team failed to reach the playoffs for a third time in the last four seasons. Charlotte finished 36-46 despite what Clifford on Wednesday called his most talented team. Clifford missed 21 games this season because of headaches stemming from sleep deprivation. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Softball plays a doubleheader, hosting Murray State at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Sunday, and baseball welcomes West Virginia Tech at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, April 18th. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hayward Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks fell today as several banking companies weighed down the major indices on the final day of an otherwise strong week for equities, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 122.91 at 24,360.14. The S&P 500 was down 7.69 at 2656.3. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 33.6 at 7106.65. Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and J.P. Morgan all reported quarterly earnings and revenue that surpassed analyst expectations. Bank shares initially traded higher before falling as the strong results were already priced in. The Spider S&P Bank ETF fell 1.6%, while J.P. Morgan itself dropped 2.7%. This despite the fact that J.P. Morgan reported 35% higher earnings year over year. Expectations for this earnings season are high, especially for financials. According to FactSet, S&P 500 earnings are forecast to have grown by 17.1% last quarter, and financials are expected to see extremely good growth, with earnings increasing by 24%. Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley are all scheduled to report next week. And so far, the earnings season is off to a good start, according to Earnings Scout. In a note to clients, the company says growth so far totals 26.8% for the first quarter. And despite today's decline in the major indices, the major averages all posted strong gains for the week, with the Dow and S&P 500 rising 1.8% and 2% respectively, while the NASDAQ advanced 2.8%. In economic news, the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index ticked down to 97.8 in April from 101.4 in March. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.3%, finishing at $67.28 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,347.90 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were slightly stronger, with the Stock 600 index inching up 0.1%. In Asia, stocks were mixed, with the Nikkei up 0.5% and the Shanghai Composite down 0.625%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were GE and Coca-Cola, while the worst performers were J.P. Morgan and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Alaska Air and F5 Networks, while the worst performers were Under Armour and PNC Financial. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 5 cents at $69.56, CSX down 52 cents at $55.59, AEP up 70 cents at $67.34, AK Steel down 2 cents at $4.47, Marathon Petroleum up 34 cents at $74.59, and Anthem was up $1.63 at $222.09. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans on just about anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. Bypass Pawn on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead can be reached at 606-780-7296. Facebook, and online at bypasspawn.com.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for this weekend and next week. Tonight, expect mostly clear skies with a low around 60. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 4 p.m., turning into steady rain. Increasing clouds with a high near 76 and a chance of precipitation at 60%. Tomorrow night, showers likely before 7 p.m. with a chance of thunderstorms later that night. Cloudy with a low around 58 and a chance of precipitation at 60%. Sunday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm. High near 65. Chance of precipitation is at 90%. Sunday night, showers likely, mainly before 9 p.m. Cloudy with a low around 38 and a chance of precipitation at 60%. Monday, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 5 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 42. Monday night, a 20% chance of showers before 9 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 33. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 61. And Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 45. It is currently 84 degrees here in Moorhead.
Taking a look at some community events, the Moorhead Conference Center will host the 2018 Kentucky Proud Expo April 13th and 14th. Hours are from 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday, which is today, and 9 to 3 p.m. on Saturday. Kentucky Proud products and vendors will be available with samples and door prizes. Admission is free and the public is invited.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Moorhead Kroger from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 14th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID and be at least 17 years of age or 16 with a parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free T-shirt.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Chuck Mraz, Leanne Akers, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, Tilden Johnson, Paul Hitchcock, and Greg Jenkins. WUKY's Josh James and KNN's Paul Miles contributed today, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. This week, we also had help from all of you, raising over $20,000 that will support your local news, music, and student work studies here on Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Ellen Barnett. All Things Considered is next.